Again, we'll have some more time later on to get to know both Alex and his wife, Christina, but we're just very thankful that you guys joined us here today and that you're going to be sharing God's word with us. And so I'm going to turn it over to Alex and see what God has to speak to us through him.
All right. Thank you, Dennis. Appreciate it. Good morning, everybody. It's good to be here with all of you this morning. Christina and I have really enjoyed just spending time with all of you and spending time with people yesterday, getting a chance to see how the food pantry kind of runs and all the people that are served through that. Just kind of getting a chance to see what San Francisco is like, South San Francisco area and all that. Got to go to the Golden Gate Bridge. So we checked that off the list. Amen. So yeah, we're grateful to just kind of be here with all of you and see how God is working. So I think for the passage that we are going to be looking at today is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 11 through 24. So I'll read that for us. Can we actually stand for the reading of God's word? Thank you. The pastor says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the spirit, do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all, hold on to what is good, reject every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." Amen. 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 Let's pray. God, we just thank you again for this time together. We thank you, God, for your word. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would open our hearts to receive, open our ears, open our minds, Lord, to see the ways that you are working and to see how you may be calling us to a new thing. We pray for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. So as I was trying to figure out what to preach about today, I was thinking, okay, as I've heard about Grace Covenant Church, I've heard a few different words. I've heard that you all are a very loving community. That has come through from a few different people, from talking with Elizabeth and with the search team and talking with Paul Wilson, the conference superintendent for the ECC here. And I also heard that you all really care about your community, that's kind of a legacy of Grace Covenant, being involved in the community, serving the people here that are most vulnerable. And I just heard that you all just really love one another, that this is like a family. And hearing all of that really excited me. And as I was praying for you all and thinking about, okay, God, what do you have to say to this church? The one church that kept popping into my mind was the church in Thessalonica, the Thessalonians. And the reason why is because if you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul goes through a process of just kind of encouraging this church. He talks about all the great things that he's heard about this church. Usually, he has, you know, some good things to say about the churches that he writes to, but he also has, you know, some negative things, something that they need to change, something that he's heard that are bad reports. But he hasn't heard anything bad about this church in particular, or at least he doesn't have anything bad to say. And I know they weren't perfect. Yes, I know they weren't perfect. They were still imperfect people serving a perfect God. But at the same time, Paul really is highlighting these are people, this is a church that really strives to love, that really strives to labor together, that really strives to work together in order to reveal who God is in the community and to one another. And it's especially surprising for this church because if you were to look at Acts chapter 17, you see that when Paul and his companions go into Thessalonica, they are actually greeted with a lot of hostility. They go in preaching that Jesus is king, and of course everybody is like, Jesus? No, actually Caesar is the only king, right? They go in preaching one thing, and the people in Thessalonica, they run Paul and his companions out of the city. But Paul got a chance to preach the gospel there. He got a chance to establish a church there. And so this church continues on growing in the faith without Paul necessarily being there, and with Paul having to leave in an abrupt way. And so it's actually pretty surprising that, oh, this is the church that he doesn't have a whole lot of negative things to say about, right? And so as I thought about all of you, this was the church that constantly kept coming back to my mind, this church that strives to love, that labors together well. And even though there's not too much negative that he has to say to the church, in chapter 5, our passage today, he does have some things to just encourage them in. He has some things to confirm for them. And so my prayer is that you, Grace Covenant, would receive that as well, as some things that God may be calling us to. So the first thing is that God is calling us to encourage and build up. Let's say it together. Encourage and build up. Amen. That's another thing. I come from a tradition where, you know, I appreciate people saying amen and letting me know that you're with me, that you hear me. Amen. I appreciate Sarah, you know, getting the crowd, getting the congregation, you know, ready for me and everything. So feel free to talk back to me a little bit and let me know. Amen. And so the first thing that we see is that in verse 11, Paul says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing already. So it's a kind of weird phrase because he's saying, he's encouraging them to do something here, but he's also saying in the same hand, you're already doing it. So it feels a little redundant, and it kind of makes me feel like Paul's kind of talking about the church as like they're overachievers or something like that as Christians. They're just doing amazing already, but he still has to say something to them. So he, you know, tells them, encourage one another and build each other up. But seriously, I think it's good for us to think about, okay, what is the distinction between these two? Is there a distinction, and what could that mean for us? As I looked at these two different words that are used in the Greek, encouraging one another involves comforting, it involves affirming one another, it involves kind of urging others on, urging people on to a goal. While building up seemed to be kind of talking more about teaching, equipping people for the work that, you know, God may be calling them to, continuing to challenge each other, molding something into what God desires for it to be. And so this distinction is, I think, a little bit helpful, but overall it just seems like these two really go hand in hand in the work that God is calling the Thessalonians to and what he's calling them to in the future and what he's calling Grace to. We see these two working hand in hand in verses 12 through 14 where Paul specifies specifically encouraging leaders. He talks about encouraging those that admonish you, encouraging those that are in charge of caring for the congregation, for the sheep. And so for me, it just really stood out. Yeah, leaders need to know that God is working in them. They need to be affirmed in that. Amen? Amen. And so as Sarah and Dennis, and I even think about Mary and Percy and the way that they lead and care for us, as they are doing that, there's just a need to make sure that we are affirming that God is working in them, affirming the ministry that they are doing. And just recognizing that in some profound ways. And I just want to make a note here that I promise I did not pick this passage just so that I could tell you all as, you know, a potential future pastor to praise me or anything like that. It was just a coincidence that that is in there. But I would appreciate it, too, if I were to come here. So, yeah, just wanted to put that out there, just so you know. But, yeah, in all seriousness, we just know, I think all of us can know that it's helpful to just be affirmed. Amen? Yeah. And I think that even as we look at our body, even beyond just leaders, each person here, if you look to your left and to your right, they need to be affirmed also. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Amen. That's something that we need. It's not just something that's good, but it's something that we need in order to keep us and protect us and continue to help us to be secure in our identity in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And so Paul also calls the church to encourage and build each other up in a couple of other ways in verse 14. He says, warn those who are idle and disruptive. And when I first read this, I remember I looked at Christina and I was like, man, I don't know what to really say about that. That seems kind of like warn people. I don't know. It feels, I like to keep the peace a little bit. I don't like the language of warning people and those types of things. But I do feel like there's a word here for us to just continue to be vigilant, to see how others may be feeling within the congregation, how others may be working towards the same goal that the church is being called to, or may not be working towards that goal. And in that, encouraging people, urging people on towards the goal. Amen?
Amen.
And so what I like about this is that when it says to warn those, it doesn't say to discard them. It doesn't say to kick them out because they are idle and disruptive. But it says warn them. And then it goes on to say, Paul goes on to say, encourage the disheartened. He says, help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Patient with everyone. Right? We continue to walk alongside those who may be struggling to continue on towards the goal, who may have stumbled in some different ways. We still welcome them and we still lift them up the same way that Jesus lifts us up. Amen? Amen. And Jesus, and Paul also says to encourage the disheartened. And it makes me just think of, you know, even in this season of transition, even in our different seasons of life, we may experience some different levels of loss and suffering and pressure and persecution and all those different things. And God calls us to continue to encourage one another even in that, to encourage those that are feeling hopeless, to encourage those that are struggling to see where God is at work. We're supposed to help the weak. And I think it's helpful for us to think about, okay, what does Paul say when he says weak? What does he mean by that? And as I was looking at that word, it seems like that word was used to talk about those who are sick. It's used to talk about those who are differently abled or disabled. It's used to talk about those who are a little less mature in their faith. It also just is used to talk about those who are just most vulnerable within society. You know, scripture talks about the widows and the orphans, those types of people that are very vulnerable within society. Paul says to the church to help all of those people, to make sure that we are caring for those people in the same way that Jesus would be caring for those people. We follow Jesus in that. And I think that that's something that we've seen within this church. I've heard some stories of you all doing that together. And I think the call is just to continue on in that and to continue to ask ourselves, who is the weak among us? Who is the weak in this congregation? Who are the weak, you know, even just within our community? That's constantly shifting. It's shifting as demographics shift, as people come and go. The people that we need to serve are shifting also, and we need to be able to adjust to that. Amen?
Amen.
And finally, again, he says to be patient with everyone. And I think patience is something that we all struggle with at different times, and I think there's going to be some different times that, you know, we may misunderstand one another, especially because, you know, as I look around, I see people from a lot of different cultures, a lot of different age brackets, a lot of different experiences, And there's going to be different understandings of what it looks like to worship, of what it looks like to love, what it looks like to communicate well. And so there's going to be times where we butt heads. But at the same time, there's still that call to be patient with each other, to listen, to not assume the worst about one another. Amen. 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 Thank you, Mary. And so God calls us. God is calling us to encourage and build up. The other thing that God is calling us to is to pursue peace. Let's say that together. Pursue peace. Amen. I think it's helpful for us to reflect on peace for a bit also. I think it was really helpful just talking to Christina again. Christina really knows her word, and you know, we met in campus ministry and everything, so a lot of times she can challenge me to continue to think through some different scripture things, and as I'm preparing for sermons, she's just very helpful. Thinking through some things. And as I was talking through this with her, you know, I was saying, oh yeah, I feel like God is calling us to pursue peace in this passage. And she said something very helpful for me that stuck with me. And she said, peace is not simply the absence of tension. Amen. Again, peace is not simply the absence of tension. Amen. And I think in our own kind of Western understandings of things, that may be where our minds initially go. That we're at peace if there's no apparent conflict, if there's no apparent struggles, and even if there may be some things under the surface, as long as we don't stir the pot too much, then we are at peace. But I think Paul and just scripture overall paints a different picture of what peace is. In particular, the word that you see throughout scripture that's used for peace is shalom. So let's say that together. Shalom. And shalom has some of that there. It has some of that there of like, you know, there's reconciliation. But then it's also just a very holistic word. It's very holistic in the sense of peace, of mind, of peace in terms of security that everybody is taken care of. Peace in terms of reconciliation between groups that have, different conflicts between them. And so I think for us, there is a call to pursue this kind of radical peace. A peace that goes beyond just, we're not going to stir the pot too much, but we're going to step into those places of conflict, those places where there is difference, and we're going to continue to talk through those things, pray through those things, and trust God to bring us out new and better for it. Amen? Amen. And so when Paul talks about peace, and he has this holistic view, it makes me just think of peace in a new way. That peace is not simply the absence of tension, but that it is the presence of wholeness, justice, reconciliation, and security. Amen. Again, peace is not simply the absence of tension, but the presence of wholeness, justice, reconciliation, and security. Amen. Amen. I like that song. That's fine. And so as we grow together, pursuing peace will involve listening to one another's stories and experiences. We've all had different experiences. We've all had different ways that we've been hurt. We all have different ways of seeing things, different lenses that we may be, you know, seeing the world through. And we need to be able to listen to one another, to listen well, to have those conversations over meals. Again, I'm going to go back to Mary because I'm really looking forward to the meal after, to the potluck and the meal and all that. And I know you love to feed us. So I'm really looking forward to that. But yeah, just having those conversations over meals and getting to know one another, in profound ways. And Paul says in verse 15 to make sure that no one pays back wrong for wrong. Instead, we're supposed to seek the good of everyone around us. Even those that have done us wrong, we still seek the good for them. We still seek the good of our community above our own individual revenge or our own individual sense of justice that we may try to pursue. Amen?
Amen.
And so With this call to encourage and build up, and this call to pursue peace, finally, Paul also communicates a call to surrender. So let's say that together. Surrender. In verse 16, Paul says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances."
Amen.
Amen. We rejoice and we give thanks in all of these different circumstances and always, not because everything is always great. You know, the word is very clear that there's going to be suffering, that, you know, just as Christ suffered, we suffer along with him and walk with him in his suffering. However, we still rejoice. We still give thanks for the ways that God is being faithful and the way that God is keeping us. We do that as individuals, but we also do that as a body. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And so as we, I think as I look at Grace Covenant, I see the need for us to just continue to reflect on the ways that God has continued to be faithful in this congregation. It's been helpful just getting to know Percy and hearing some of the stories of Grace Covenant and hearing about the 50s and all the way up till now and all the different ways that, you know, God has been at work, the different things that you all have been doing within this community, and the ways that the kingdom has been revealed through all of you and that the gospel has been preached. And so even in this time of transition, which may be very hard for many of us, and it's just, you're in a very, you're on a shaky kind of ground where it's like, you don't know what's happening next, and things are going to be shifting in some different ways. Even in that season, that may be difficult. I still hear God calling us to just recognize how God has worked in the past, how he's been faithful, and to give thanks for that. And to see that God has continued to do things within this congregation, that God has continued to do amazing work within this community, and he's provided faithfully. And we give thanks for that.
Amen.
And we look towards these transitions that are hard and may be scary, and we still give thanks because we know that we have hope. We have hope in our God who has kept us from the beginning until the end, and we have hope in the fact that we are children of God, and that God is not going to abandon his body. Amen. He's going to continue to carry us forward. And so within that, I think as we rejoice and we give thanks, there's also a very clear call to pray. God is calling us to pray continually. Paul says pray continually. And as I think about prayer, that's something that has become very dear to me, to seek God together. We seek God together by lifting him up and worshiping him when we gather together on Sundays, when we gather together, you know, in our different spiritual formation groups and small groups and all those things. And we also seek him as individuals, I hope, daily, praying to him, letting him know what's on our hearts, relinquishing those things to him. But then also, I think of prayer as a conversation. And I think of prayer as, you know, we tell God different things that we may be feeling and hearing and seeing. And then we ask our petitions and all those things, but then we also listen. We listen. We go to God's word and we see, okay, God, how are you speaking to us through your word? We go to one another as people that are filled with the Holy Spirit, as people that God is speaking through and working through, and we see, okay, how maybe God's speaking through our neighbors, through our brothers and sisters. And we just sit together and we listen. As awkward as it may be at times, I think there's something powerful about us when we are coming together to pray, taking time to just sit in silence and be able to listen for what God might be saying in that moment. There may be things that God is stirring up in different individuals and stirring up for people to speak. And so I think that's something that that Grace Covenant will continue to push into, and I think God will work through that. Paul says, "Do not quench the spirit or treat prophecies with contempt." And for me, I come from a more charismatic background where I understand God, the Holy Spirit as working in some different ways and using, you know, spiritual gifts and revealing those, revealing himself through those ways. And there may be times that, you know, God works through somebody to prophesy to the church.
Yes.
At the same time, I recognize that some of us may not come from those same backgrounds. And some of us may not know, okay, what does prophecy actually look like here and now, or how does the Spirit work necessarily? But I think we can all agree that God is still living.
Amen.
He's still active.
Yes.
And he's still speaking. Amen.
Amen.
And so as we pray continually, we need to just remain open to the ways that the Spirit may be speaking to us and guiding us, the ways that the Spirit may be correcting some things or shifting some things, maybe tweaking some things that we may have an attachment to and all those things. And so it's going to be hard. It's going to be a pruning process. It's gonna be difficult for us, but I think we're going to see some amazing ways that God will continue to work here.
Amen.
And reveal himself. Amen. And I think it's also important for us to just recognize that God is not a favor of persons. That's something my father would constantly say. God does not look at somebody, somebody that may be bigger and maybe stronger and say, okay, you are someone that I can speak through. Well, I can't speak through somebody else who's smaller or weaker or anything like that. God speaks through all of us.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Every single one of us.
Right.
Young and old.
Yep.
Rich or broke.
Yep.
I know the struggle. Amen. Educated or uneducated, God speaks through all of us. And we need to be open to those ways that God may be seeking to encourage, that he may be seeking to challenge us in this work as we continue to move forward together. And so I think the other thing that came to mind for me was as I thought about this kind of call to pray and encourage and to pursue peace, I thought about my own story of just kind of going to the University of Chicago. That's where I went for undergrad. And when I first got there, I was studying biology and I was away from home for the first time. And I had a choice to make of, okay, I've grown up as a Christian. I've grown up going to church constantly. My father is a minister in the church, our church back in New York. And I had a choice to make of, okay, am I going to continue on in that? I could just sleep in now on Sundays. I could just, you know, do my own thing. I have some freedom here. But as I went to Chicago, I felt the need to remain grounded. I felt the need to remain on that steady foundation that was built for me. And so I ended up becoming part of a campus ministry called InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. I know many of you are familiar with that and support some different staff from InterVarsity. And so when I first went to InterVarsity there, it was a multi-ethnic chapter, and I put that in quotes because in name it was multi-ethnic, but in reality there were about maybe 35 people. Maybe 30 of those people were white and from traditional kind of backgrounds in terms of their worship experiences. Then there were maybe 2 black people and then 1 international Korean student. So it wasn't particularly multi-ethnic at first. But as I went there, I saw that there were ways that God may be wanting to shift how InterVarsity was working and how InterVarsity was ministering on the campus. They were doing some great things in terms of bringing together believers to pray and to encourage one another and to worship together. But there wasn't as much going on in terms of, okay, now that we've come together, how are we being sent out? How are we being sent out to our campus and to our city on mission? And so at the end of my first year, I was invited to be on leadership with InterVarsity, and I was invited alongside some other people that were starting at the University of Chicago as well. And we all had different visions of what it looked like what needed to happen in terms of outreach. We all had different passions. We all, you know, were from different majors and had different groups that we had a particular burden for. But I think that as we came together, the common thread was that God was calling us to something new. And as we prayed through those things, we also just felt the need to just kind of map out, okay, some of us are, you know, looking to go into nursing and we're feeling a particular burden to minister to those others that are in nursing. And some of us are looking to reach the Black community. Some of us are looking to reach the Latino community. People in this particular dorm aren't being reached. How are we going to reach them? And we mapped all of that out and we just started to pray over those things. And there were some different steps that kind of came up, next steps of, okay, this is what it's going to look like to start this process of reaching out and revealing the kingdom in those places. And finally, by the end of my third year, when I looked back, I saw that the chapter had kind of doubled in size, that, well, more than doubled. It had gone to about 75 people from, you know, the 30 that I initially saw. And it started to reflect that multi-ethnic identity that they were going for. And I think part of the reason why was because we all felt that call from God. We all felt that need to continue to reach out in some different ways and to see the kingdom revealed in new ways. And as we prayed through those things, God directed our steps. The Holy Spirit didn't allow those times of prayer and silence together and listening to be in vain or to be a waste of time. It was a way that God was guiding us, that God was molding us and shaping us. And so I just say all of that to encourage all of you that I believe God is going to do a similar thing here. I believe that God is going to do some different things that are going to stretch us, that God is going to encourage us to continue to seek his face and to trust him, to use our time in different ways that we may have used it before, while still building on that foundation and that thing that God, you know, first started within this church and has continued to develop, that heart for labor, that heart for love. Those are good things, and those are amazing qualities that you can't teach somebody that. That only comes from being, you know, in Jesus, being in Christ, from being filled with the Spirit. And so, Grace family, I'm just really encouraged by all of you. I'm really excited to be with you. And I'm just excited to see the ways that we can continue to respond to this call from God together. Amen. 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 Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would continue to mold and shape us more and more into Christ's image, that you would continue to challenge us in new ways. We pray, God, that you would open up our hearts and our minds, Lord, that this word would not fall on rocky ground, but that it would be planted deep within us, Lord, and that it would begin to transform us, God, and bring fruit. God, we're excited for this new season. We're excited for new things that you're doing. We're grateful for your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness, God.
Amen. That's
right. You are a great God, and we worship you today. And we just ask, Lord, that that you would just be speaking to us even in this moment. Would you open our ears to be able to hear you clearly?
Amen.
God, we thank you for your word. And we ask that you would just transform your church. That you would use us, that you would have your way. We pray with expectancy, God, and with hope that you will continue the work that you've promised to do, Lord, in us and through us. Pray for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.